Hello and welcome to the Challenges of Faith radio broadcast, giving honor as always to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. You are tuned in to Let's Talk About It, a platform that I co-host with Gary McCants. I'm Dr. Karen, and I'm excited to see what the Lord is saying for us today. And I want to welcome first our listeners in the United States and abroad. It has been so wonderful to see and hear of all the people who are listening to all the Challenges of Faith broadcasts and being inspired and being lifted up, and also joining us from other countries and on all the different platforms for podcasts. We welcome you all. I have a really blessed but personal topic I wanted to share with you today. I was praying about a few things, and during this time of my life, I know I shared with my co-host, Gary, that there are some things that I've really been considering. And I thought about a statement that we all have made over and over again. Are you ready? You might want to write it down. We all make a statement every now and then. Should I? Should I? Should I? Said different ways, asked sometimes of other people to leave our decision in their hands. A little bird spoke to me, so forth. Decisions have been a part of our being since the beginning of time. God gave Adam instructions, gave him a helpmeet, Eve, and God blessed Eve, gave Eve, and God blessed them to carry out the purpose of their creation. And so, as Gary brought out in our last episode, Adam decided to ask Eve something that God had already done instead of talking to God. And, of course, he followed her instructions. Wow, okay, I'll stop there, but let's talk about it. I have learned a hard truth about decisions made over the years. I hear people all the time saying, be careful what decisions you make because it could affect the rest of your life. And you hear people saying that people consider in the media famous. You hear doctors, you hear lawyers, you hear everyday blue-collar workers, you hear grandparents, you hear high school students. You just hear a lot of people saying that. Most of us have said that, even me, and that's why I said us. It can affect the rest of your life. And you can make that statement because we've all made a few bad decisions. 2020 was a huge year for decisions, the pandemic, being unable to live what people now call a normal life. It had a lot of time for making decisions about what's next, maybe what can be, and perhaps a real uncovering of who we really are. You heard a lot of people who struggled with different bouts of depression and emotional trauma, which we'll talk about on another show, but you also found people who were married, who ended up having a lot of abuse in the home during that time. And you heard of people who had a very hard time, unfortunately, being able to handle the parent-child thing in the home and the children and education. There's a lot of things. But that abuse was something that really jarred me a bit, because what it means is possibly people made a decision to be with someone that at this time they're not able to even spend a day with them in the house, let alone a year. So it really uncovered a lot of things. And if that was something that you dealt with, believe me, I'm not taking it lightly. And as I said, we will be talking about a lot of these things that happened during the pandemic and before, because a lot of the things that came out in 2020 were things that were already lingering, and it kind of exploded. So for myself, it was literally a life-changing life, and my decisions are based on that year. Very quickly, because this is not a testimonial show for me, but I want to share what I really believe you can relate to. I lost my life to an illness in March 2020. I was in a coma for 2.5 months. My adult twins were told I would not make it, and when I still lived past the time that the doctors thought I would, my children were told that I would be in a vegetative state, and I had less than a negative 1% chance to live. Other things went along with it, and I'm not talking about that right now. No, it was not COVID. I woke up to COVID, which was deep in itself. I had a strain of pneumonia, and it was airborne. It was diagnosed by the University of Michigan Hospital in the area where I live. And anyway, the story is more, but the point is how I decided to live my life now that God has given me yet another chance. And I often, some people who are listening now may know me from my books or the things I spoke about in the past, which includes my drug. I had a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction. I have been raped, molested, you know, gone through and came back. And nothing compared to me than what I just went through, because I literally was given a less than 1% chance to live, and pretty much my family was told to get ready to prepare for a burial, and they had to take care of legal business. Prior to that, I had a conference call and meeting that I taught about the power of no, N-O. And I started teaching that in about 2017 or 16, a two-letter word that can change your life. Many people, men and women, that had been a part of this seminar or call emailed me excited when they exercised the right to say no or say yes with an attachment or commitment to themselves and learning how to understand what God has said. When they heard no, they said, I heard a small voice or a little birdie, and if they didn't quite understand the voice or the will of God, that's what people called it, a birdie. And how many times have you said it or heard people say, I heard a little birdie said, or I heard this voice, and it seemed like I shouldn't have went down there. And then we got over there, and, you know, it's you find out later that it was a spiritual encounter. I created this workshop based on the decisions in my life, mistakes, and some successes. Unfortunately, it should have been more successes, but I asked people what I should do often, and they directed me away from my truth. I asked people what I should do too often, and they directed me away from my truth. And you know about asking people. I know women know, and men do too, but women really know that when we ask the wrong woman, it could be somebody that says, I love you, girl. Can't wait to see you again. Tell your mother I said hi. Blah, blah, blah. Your hair looks good. I'm going to stop. But you know that if you're aiming for something higher than them, it might not go over too well. But you know, jealousy is a killer and dangerous when you are subject to it by those you trust. Let's talk about God's will. You may say, Karen, I don't know how to listen for God or trust what I don't see. Everybody listening has something in your life that you know it had to be God involved. It does not have to be like my or Gary's testimony or someone else you know, because it's yours. Our family was homeless, but God. Lost my job, and a man told me out of the blue about an opportunity, but God. I was being abused, or your mother or father were being treated unjustly, but God. There's always but God lessons all around us. And what's really blessed is you're listening to this means you're alive. Because you're listening to this broadcast, whatever day you're listening it, whatever time zone you're in, wherever you are, because you're able to listen, that is a blessing because of the breath that is inside of you. That is a but God. So getting back to my decisions, you all have me going all over the place, but I'm passionate about this. There are people that I made decisions with over the years that proved to push their agenda, and not mine. My purpose was set to the side, and it cost me. Every time you do something outside of your purpose, and that word seems to be something that puzzles a lot of people because they ask, how can I find my purpose? And usually, your purpose definitely finds you because your destiny has already been made. And I'm not going to go into that lesson. I promise you. I know Gary is writing it down for me now. These are the things that we're going to talk about. It's not as hard as you think it is, but it can cost you if you make the wrong decision and push your purpose to the side. Money, time, emotions, a long, heavy price to pay. And it cost me a lot. When I woke up in 2020 and went through almost a year of something I can't explain and came home to my family, hearing my children daily trying to make me understand that they were told I was going to die, they were told I passed away, and they were keeping me on life support because my brain still had function waves showing on the machines. But my body and my soul was gone. So after hearing what they did and what they believed and how they prayed, all the ways of God, fear at first, they said, for 1 or 2 days, and then they stopped and leaned in to hear from God. And what's really important about what they said and what they did, they said they repented first, and then they stopped to listen to God. Not because they had done anything bad, not because they had said something that was wrong, but they repented just for being in their mind and looking at it as my children, their mother, and they repented so they could hear from God. And that's very important. We have to repent to the Lord daily. Even if you're not sure what you have done, why not be sure that you are repenting to God so that He can forgive you and you can move forward? So when I got it finally, everybody, I said out loud and have decreed that my decisions have to be only what God says. Only what God says. Oh, Karen, it's not that deep. Oh, yes, it is. Every day you wake up, it's with purpose. Your breath is borrowed from God. You don't have to walk around deep like the Pharisees, but you should remember daily that life is yours. Because God and your decisions need to be based on what He has for you and what He has done for you. I know that you may not get how to walk only by faith. It is a lesson. It is a lesson of growth. But you begin to practice what's right, and it'll start not being wrong. Just begin to practice what's right. Well, what is that? You know right from wrong. And if you don't know, God will bring it to you either through television. He'll let you hear something. He'll let you see something. And you will feel in your heart that it's not right. And once it becomes a part of you and it's in you, it's your responsibility to handle things God's way. And if you choose to say, well, I'm not going to accept that this is wrong, then it's a sin, and you have to pay for that. You just have to pay for it. And nothing is judgmental. Everything is not real heavy, and it's not real deep, but it's things that you have to be able to see that you don't have to do. When my children were little, they were babies, I was in poverty. I had lived in and out of places. It was times that I almost had to go to a shelter. And every time something happened that looked like it was going to be bad, God blessed me. Even a house that I lived in that my children were getting hurt in. And when I took my son to the hospital, and I'm saying 1 year old, his finger was hurt by a broken window. When I got to the hospital, gave the housing department my file, the recording from the hospital file, they had to move me because I was on a Section 8 program. And when they moved me, it was a beautiful home. Now, I didn't have a full relationship with God. I hadn't been restored. I loved God. I always talked to him and trusted him. But that part of my life, prior to that, I had got involved with a whole lot of things. Like I said, drugs, alcohol. And a lot of those things were based on trying to soothe the pain of other things. Anyway, but God still was there, and he blessed me with good things. So I used to go to the grocery store, and I had to steal diapers. I would steal diapers, but I had twins. Steal diapers. I remember one time having to steal, it wasn't a can of formula. It was something like a baby food or something, but, you know, I was familiar with the WIC program. I got on the WIC program, and for everybody listening, Dr. Karen knows about it all. That's what I'm saying. We're going to talk really, and when we say let's talk about it, we're going to talk real about it. And I was still loving God and believing him. When I learned that I didn't have to steal the diapers, I saw something on TV, and they were saying, you know, sometimes you feel desperate and you have to steal. And it was a lesson. It was something I heard, and it got into my heart. I start learning how to trust what God said. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. I went to the grocery store one day, the place that I used to steal stuff from, and spoke to the butcher and said, if I come back late at night when you're taking the meat out of the coolers that you have to put up for the night, can I come back and get something from you at half price? She told me that I can come up there as many times I wanted to after a certain time of night, and she would give me food. And she was giving me pounds of meat. She was giving me vegetables. She was giving me everything because I asked someone. You ask not. You have not because you ask not. That's what that means. So I'm not going there either. You are not taking me there. Okay. So let's talk about this just a little bit further. This is a lesson that can go on so many topics, and it has a lot of lessons within it, and I'm going to hit them. We're going to hit them. Gary and I are going to hit the topics about life and what it's doing to you and what it's doing to people around you. But I want to share a scripture for you to hear and learn to repeat it during your time of meditation and prayer. I want you to turn to Proverbs 3, chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. And I know moving forward, Gary has some really, really good parts of this that he is getting ready to share, some deep parts that I really want you to listen to, because all this is really important about your decisions. When you can't go far into the faith lessons, you can't really see everything, and you hear a lot of faith teachers, and you hear a lot of power of, you know, all these different ways to get stuff, and the, you know, law of this, and the law of attraction, and all this. Everything is based on the word of God. The law of attraction, you all are trying to make me go to another topic. I'm going to say this one thing. The law of attraction is mimicked. The word of God is true. The law of attraction is what you could do every day through God. And you don't have to stoop to it or believe it because somebody is sitting in front of you looking deep, saying this is the law. The law of attraction is God's, it's his program, it's his determination that you live a good and healthy life, a life of with abundance, okay? So I'm not dogging anybody. You can't say Dr. Karen said so-and-so about Dr. So-and-so and Mrs. and all them. That's not what I said. I'm talking about the words that you should listen to and believe. And the words in the law of attraction can be powerful. They are meaningful, but they stem from the word of God. What you think is who you'll be, and that's just the truth about it. Okay, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, this is a scripture that many people in the Christian community have heard over and over again. And I need you to hear it and say it now with your spiritual eyes, and hear with your ears that it can absorb into your soul. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. There are preachers and teachers that help us understand, and ultimately you need that word confirmed by God. So you trusted everybody else, but you've got to trust your Creator. And he knows everything about you and your life. So our understanding can only go so far. His is through eternity. Now, you usually hear this said in verse 5 and 6, but I liked verse 7 because it says, be not wise through your own eyes. Don't think you just know everything and this is what it is and this is my family and so forth. No, do not be wise through your own eyes, and you fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes and fear the Lord enough to look at what he's showing you and hear what he's saying. And he said, depart from all evil. And so some things is not rocket science. You know that it's evil and it's out there. So we've trusted everybody. You've got to trust your Creator. I pray that this has blessed and been blessed for you in this segment of Let's Talk About It. It's a great honor to speak to you all around the world. This platform in itself was a decision that came when I refused to partner with those who used me for my name or for my knowledge, but I partnered in 2020 with who God said, with 2021, early 2021, with who God said. And if Gary remembers our conversation, which I'm sure he does, I told him that he was on my mind and my heart, and I needed to call him and tell him what happened to me. And that was just out of love. That was just out of me letting him know what happened. I didn't want him to hear about it later, and I wanted him to pray for me. And all this transpired because he said he was praying and he needed some things to happen. Now, there are people who are waiting for me to call them because, oh, Karen's awake now. She can come back. I haven't even texted them, you guys. Okay, so that's the end of that. Okay, I would love for you to follow me on Instagram at Dr. Karen L. Donald. It's Dr. Karen L. Donald. Just Donald, not Donaldson. Dr. Karen L. Donald. And please visit my website at www.drkarenldonald.com. drkarenldonald.com. And with that, I'm going to turn over my time to Mr. Gary McCants, my co-host, to bring this topic in. He's going to reel it in for us and give us some words of truth and hope that I know is going to be fire from on high. God bless you and keep you continually.
Hey there, my beloved sister of the Household of Faith, Dr. Karen L. Donald. And thank you. Hey, by the way, that was a great personal testimony in all that you shared. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCants. The Let's Talk About It segment. I'd like to acknowledge our listeners and thank you for joining. Thank you for joining. You know, there's a story told of two ships set in New York on a quiet mission. The captains of the ships were told not to tell anybody where they were going. They got out to sea, S-E-A, and there was a bad storm. And that storm caused the ships to be separated from each other. Ship number one looking off at a distance at ship number two, not knowing if ship number two was a friend or an enemy. So ship number one took a chance, calling out to ship number two, asking a question. Where are we? Ship number two responds back. Where did you come from? Ship number one says, we don't know. Ship number two then asks ship number one, well, where are you going? Ship number one says, we don't know. Ship number two then says, if you don't know where you come from and you don't know where you're going, it makes no difference where you are. Where are you in your life today? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? You've heard Dr. Karen lay it out for you as relates to her story, her brief sojourn. Well, before you can answer that question, we got to go back. We got to go back to the beginning, you know, before all of the confusion, getting off balance in your life, lost like those ships set out to sea on a very important mission. You know it's true. You ready? I know you are. You know, the last time Dr. Donald and I, we talked about and we saw how men and women and men were created perfectly by a perfect God. Now, if you've been reading the Word, studying the Word, applying the Word, then you understand that it wasn't women and men and women. It was one man and one woman, you know, Adam and Eve. So now, let's return to the garden. Now that you're awoke, I know you are. Something happened. And you want to correlate it, if you choose, to when you was a so-called perfect child, you know you wasn't. Well, parent of parents, you can remember when your child was all perfect according to you when they was first born. And your parents or grandparents can remember you and themselves while they had it. But that perfect child came into the world. And then something happened. You know you was looking at that child of yours or children of yours and you said, is that my baby? And your parent or parents did the same thing with you and me too. But something happened. Something happened. And you know it did. Just like from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Turn. You turn. It's time for you to learn for you. You know, it's like that captain of ship number one. He could have, and you can apply it to a lady if it was a lady that happened to be a man, but he could have, with pride, not open his lips and ask the question, but he didn't. He put that pride to the side. Something happened. And I say that to say, open the word. What does Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 say? Okay, I'm going to wait. Now look at verse 2. Something happened. Because you're talking about a perfect God who created a perfect world. He created perfect angels, a perfect man, a perfect woman. Now think about it. So you're looking at verse 1, chapter 1. Look at heaven and earth. And now you're looking at verse 2. The earth became void, you know, like waste. And about the time you get to verse 3 and going all the way up to chapter 2, verse 25, then you see a recreation taking place. The first day was light. The second day, air, space, you know, firmament. The third day, dry land appears and plant life. The fourth day, sun, moon, stars appear. The fifth day, then you got animal life, you know, biology. Then the sixth day, you got the fertility of creation and the creation of man. I know you're paying attention. And then all of a sudden you get to the seventh day, Sabbath. I know you're reading. Leading to the law of reoccurrence, you know. You ready to continue? Because you got to remember that you're going to have to keep reading in Genesis. All the way up to chapter 4, verse 25. Actually, it's going to be chapters 1 through 11. But I'm only trying to lay the foundation as we returned to the Garden of Eden. Because remember, last time we talked about the woman, and man, where they came from. But today, if we want to look at the fall, you know, chapters 3 and 4. But we want to look at the root of sin. You know, Karen brought up Proverbs, and, you know, because that's important as we leave the garden and for the next time begin to delve into those issues as a result of the root of what happened here. You know, doubting, disobeying God. But even before we get to that, and going back and looking at Genesis 1:1, we have to look at who was created. But you remember, I know you did, if you were reading your spare time, or if you've been listening, on Sunday morning, 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., programs related to the seven different judgments when you stand before God. And last few weeks we've been talking about the devil, how he was created. So let's bring it back in as we correlate it to today's message. Satan was created, but he was created a good angel. And when you read the word, understand the word, and apply the word under the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God, make it a real to and for your life, you'll notice that he didn't have any outside influences to cause him to sin, you know, think wrong, say wrong, do wrong. But he had a free will. So the question you got to ask and answer, like we're going to ask and answer ourselves as Karen and I move forward on our discussions with you before our lives. For those around us that we love, for those around us who want to do us harm when we haven't done anything against them, why would Satan when he was in those beautiful realms of heaven. You know the different realms of heaven, do you not? But he was called Lucifer, son of the morning, especially in light of the fact that he was perfect. Remember now, created by a perfect God. So why would he desire to sin? As a matter of fact, where does the desire of sin come from? In a perfect world, among perfect beings. Well, reality is we don't have an answer. All we know is from the books of Isaiah and Ezekiel. And it says, as it relates to him, that iniquity was found in you. Now we're talking about the devil. But you remember now, you looked at that little baby of yours. You did all that goo-goo and ga-ga and all of that. And then something happened. Where did that come from? And I know that when you get mad at the other person in your life, you're blaming on the dad blaming on the mom, and you're not remembering or you're choosing not to remember all the different natures inside of you and where you stem from and who you stem from and where they stem from and on and on and on, leading back to the original parents that we're talking about today. But again, we started with Satan, because that's going to lead to today's discussion. But all the glory was to go to God. And Lucifer, as I understand it, had the responsibility of a choir master. All of the angels would sing praise to God. And he was supposed to pass on the glory to God. But guess what happened? He kept some of it to himself. Why did he do that? Why do you? Why do me? What motivated him? We know it's a mystery to you and I. But what motivates us? You know it ain't no mystery. But we'll find out why, beginning today. And as Dr. Donald and I continue forward, not standing still, but we know the rest is history, because he did, meaning Satan, meaning Lucifer, meaning the devil, son of the morning. Because we all know the devastation of sin, you know, the causative factors, the effects. Look inside of ourselves. Look at those regrets. Look at our family. There's no perfect family on this planet. Quit lying. Look at your community. Look at your place of worship. Look out there on your job, in the political world, educational world, medical world, criminal justice world, social world. You name the world system. But we need to live with this mystery, and we need to recognize the presence of evil. But we also need to recognize that God is triumphing over that evil, whether it's in us, as his creation, as his children, and through the spreading of the gospel. You know, the good news. So, I know you're ready. Foundation's been laid. Perfect God. Perfect devil. Perfect angel. Perfect Adam. Perfect Eve. We see how that God made us because he loved us. Could you imagine going to your loving parents? It took two. Don't let nobody confuse you. The word lets us know that the devil is the author of confusion. God isn't. But could you imagine going to your loving parents and them telling you, we humanly created you because we hated you? Does that make sense to you? Then they may have disliked each other, but we're talking about you. We're talking about a loving Heavenly Father. But he also wanted us to love him in return. You know, a genuine relationship. You know, that's what I write about. That's what I talk about. That's a professional background. The Bible says that in the beginning, before sin, you know, evil thoughts, words, and deeds entered the world, Adam and Eve enjoyed a perfect, unbroken relationship with God. And you can apply it in your own life, you know, when you're out there dating each other, you know, all loving each other, looking in each other's eyeballs, able to tell what was, how many eyebrows you had, and if there was something on it, you plucked it off with love and tenderness and all of that until something happened. Sin. But remember now, the next time and onward, we'll find out what happened, you know, maybe broken trust, worrying, bitterness, unforgiveness, doubting, hatred, coldness, indifference, jealousy. But what went wrong with Adam and Eve? What went wrong with you? You know, I've already lovingly tough love, walked around me, along with God, Holy Spirit of God, convicting, accountability partners. Satan, he took a look at Adam and Eve, you know he did. And he tempted them to turn against God and disobey God. And they did. Who did the devil use? Who's being used in your relationship with God? Because you to turn against him who loves you. Correlated back to your loving parent or parent, whatever relationship comes to your heart and mind. And even though they had been warned of the consequences, Adam and Eve, still believe Satan when he called God a liar and told them instead that you would not surely die over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. But who was he talking to? So when you're reading the word, make sure you're reading the total chapter, the total verse. Remember, all scripture is not to you, but it's for you. Who was he talking to through the serpent? But who was he talking to? Because from that moment on, sin like a deadly cancer invaded their souls and destroyed their relationship with God. And when you look at what happened then leading up to today through human history, it also brought death and human selfishness into the world. Look at your own life. But I'm sure you're going to sit there wherever there is around the globe, and irrespective of your age, depending on your age, because you got to remember now, the Word of God doesn't say what the age of accountability is in a person's life. and you've heard me allude to in some of the program segments how that in many states in the United States, there's an age that the local or state government, federal government, say is the age of accountability. One state may be 16, another state may be 18, another state may be 21. And what they're saying is that now they know that this guy, this girl, now have knowledge. They understand their actions. And as a result of their actions, now they understand there's consequences to their actions. The reason that God didn't make us so we couldn't sin is we would be like puppets. Now, I know that there are those of you, only you know who you really are, in your relationship. Maybe you want to have somebody that's a puppet. Do what you say, you know, like a robot. Unable to choose between right and wrong. But that's not a genuine, loving relationship like God. And that person that you met in your life, aren't you glad they weren't like you and vice versa? But our love for God would not have been genuine as well. Because the bottom line is, if we couldn't have freely chosen to love God, it's not genuine. And you know he know our heart. And I know you know that in the relationship that you're in, that you began with until something happened, the lips were matching his shoes, so you had an idea that the person loved you and you them. And now it's all about guesstimation because you can fake it until you make it. You know it's true. Love is real only when we can choose it. And not being a puppet. Now think whether it was with Satan, fallen angels, Adam and Eve, throughout human history, leading to you and I. But you know, as we are reading and studying about a perfect God, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, creating perfect angels, perfect man, perfect woman, did you know that God always knew what was going to happen? Did you know that the Bible says that God planned our salvation even before the creation of the world? And you can see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And the good news is that we don't need to be afraid of God's judgment anymore. And I'm going to take a moment and grab my sip of water. And the reason why we don't have to fear it is because Jesus Christ, his son, his only son, opened heaven's door to you and I by his death on the cross. And the question that you got to ask and answer is your faith and hope in him for your salvation? Or is it in that person that's in your life that you've made an idol? Disobey God. And an idol can come in many forms. It can be your child or your children, love of money, love of title, love of materialism, love of your job, your automobile, your mansion, your yacht, anything that takes the place of God in your life. Remember? Genesis 1, perfect. Genesis 1, 2, something happened. Satan man, woman, creation. What happened? Well, remember how Satan went through the serpent? Well, in the garden, God confronted the first man, the first woman, Adam and Eve, our original parents. Look at all the creation on the earth that's been, that is, that will be. Go back to the Tower of Babel. Understand when the languages were confounded, leading to all the nations on earth and all the different languages. That's a different story. But God confronted the first man and the woman, Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, you know, disobeyed God. And you look at their reaction when they knew what they had done. And you know what you've done. And you know when you fell and your parents knew when you something happened to you. Your relationship changed. You look at your children or your child or whoever comes to mind. Boyfriend and girlfriend, girlfriend and boyfriend, husband and wife, wife and husband. On your job between employer and employee. At your place of worship between pastor and pew members. Political world. You name the system. Unless you keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and the heart becomes hardened at what you're doing, there's no conviction. But after Adam and Eve sinned, you know, fell down, their reaction set the course for the entire human race. And so you're walking around talking about you belong to this race, that race, this race, that race, the entire human race. Go back and look. When God created Adam, who named Eve? You, men, ladies, who named you man? Who named you woman? You can say what you want, but isn't it interesting when you go back and you bring it up today, you're trying to deny, you're called a man, you're called a woman. Do you notice how the devil, the author of confusion, how he's bringing in all of these other genders to confuse you for his purpose, no matter who he's using to do it? The man said that the woman you gave to me to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Now I know, and I don't know. I know there's somebody out there behind the pulpit or in the pew. They knew. They can tell you what happened because they were there, but I wasn't. I know God was. I know Adam and Eve was. And I know that the serpent, do you remember? The serpent, in order for the serpent to go down this belly, they had to be what? And then you had the devil who went through the serpent, who used the serpent, you know, like he does today, using people for his purposes. You got to remember now, the devil got his own children. He has his own ministers. And he himself can turn himself into what? While he is misinterpreting scripture, kind of like what he did here in Genesis chapter 3. But notice how Adam, who he blamed. And could you imagine Eve looking at him? Ladies, like you do, the guy in your life or the children or your child or whoever comes to your heart and mind. if you happen to be a supervisor or a CEO or whatever the case may be, and you're looking at your employee or your peer or your staff member, and you're like, I can't believe. Well, you can believe it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. I know you're over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. Adam lays it at Eve's feet, even though God told Adam what not to do. Eve leaves it at the serpent's feet. Now think about the topics that Karen and I are going to be talking about. You know, think about the topics that other co-hosts and I are talking about on the relational series about individuals that we meet daily. Trying to discern whether they're real or not, whether they're genuine or not. And you heard Karen mention, Dr. Donald, about praying. And there's a reason why you should pray. There's a reason why you should go to God before making a decision, but we don't. It sounds good, doesn't it? Could you imagine what would have been avoided? God knew all the time what was going to happen. But the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Could you imagine the serpent could have turned to the devil and said, so why do you want to use me to deceive others? In this case, it would have been Eve. But again, you notice how Adam blamed his wife and God. He did both of them. He not only said Eve, but you notice he said, the one you gave me. But then he confessed. I ate. The woman blamed the serpent, but then confessed. I ate. Remember those captains on the ships set out to from New York on a quiet mission? Remember it was the weather that caused them to be separated from each other. But could you imagine all the blame that the individuals on that ship were pointing the finger at each other? And you know, the captain, you know, I don't know if they had, you know, they did. We all do. Some form of pride. But you know how it's always easier to point the finger at somebody else or something else when we sin? And we'll even add those other influences, you know, especially genetics, environment, whatever excuse that can come to our heart and mind, we can think we can get out of that accountability. And, of course, they can play a part in influencing you and I along with demonic influences. But the final decision to think wrong, say wrong, do wrong, that's going to affect you and me and others who are affected by our actions is on our shoulders. So think about it. Ponder it. And while you're pondering what's happening here, back in the garden, look at what happened in your life. Mr. and Miss Imperfect, who thought you was perfect. I remember on my sojourn when starting out, I would never do that. Bam, have you? In spite of what the devil did through the serpent, God held Adam and Eve responsible for their own sin. The devil enticed them, but he didn't make them do it. Remember? Free will. Remember the devil when he fell? Remember those angels who voluntarily went with him? Remember those demons? Fallen angels. But he also noticed God's solution to Adam and Eve's sin didn't come by blaming the devil. God obtained a confession from the sinners. And when you hear me go back alluding to your child, that baby, you know, I'm laughing because I remember a pastor was sharing how that every mother that's been blessed to have a baby and this one mom, she was showing off her baby. And the pastor was saying how that every baby is beautiful. And so this particular mom was showing her baby to this particular pastor. And when they saw the baby, they did not want to tell an untruth to that mom, that loving mom. And so what they said was, oh, what a baby. But that baby of yours, do you remember when they were little? You didn't see no wrong in them. But you remember the moment you told them not to do something, all of a sudden they did it. Remember, you're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. That's the only natural thing you know how to do. But did you ever think about going back? Apart from blaming this, blaming that, blaming this person, that person, your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your whole ancestors, everybody, another race. Have you ever thought maybe going back to the beginning? Without all that confusion and allowing the devil to use humans like he did the serpent, leading to where you are today, all confused in the mind. But God obtained a confession from the sinners, you know, Adam and Eve, I ate. But he also provided a sacrificial death on their behalf, removing their shame. And while you were in Genesis chapter 3, did you read down to verse 21? Do you notice nothing has changed today in terms of God's plan for removing our guilt? It involves removing the sin that caused it. You know, not removing some type of spirit. And you name the sin. Don't let somebody else name it. You name it. Because in essence, when you and I recognize our sin, you know, thinking wrong, saying wrong, doing wrong, and then turn around and receive God's provision through the finished work of Christ on the cross, guess what? We have the forgiveness that we desire, especially when we used to shift the blame to somebody else. So understand, I know you do. As Dr. Donald and I and you, as we leave the Garden of Eden, to what happened? Now, did you think they were going to be able to stay there? Remember, God said they were going to surely die. They didn't die physically because you got to read to see how long they lived. And you got to look at the causative factors as you're doing, because then when you recognize that now, find the oldest person in the Word of God in their age, and then look at today around the globe, when men and women, women and men are so excited in keeping the record of individuals who are blessed to live past 100 in the Guinness World Record. And they write it down, they celebrate it, and they try to find out, you know, how'd you live so long? And then all of a sudden the people with money and scientists and all that, they go through everything and try to make themselves little g God to see if they can extend life, and they do all of that. But if you look at the obituaries around the globe, irrespective of age, irrespective of age, irrespective of your skin tone, irrespective of your zip code, God is the giver and taker of life, not your human doctor. But it goes back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. And you know something happened to the serpent. God didn't not hold the serpent accountable. He did. And he's holding the devil accountable. All you got to do is, the devil knows, go to Revelation chapter 20 and continue on to Revelation 21. You'll see. And we talk about it on Sunday. But a spiritual separation occurred with Adam and Eve and God. And when something has happened in your relationship, remember, go back to the beginning. Who did the devil use to enter your relationship? What did he use? What temptation? You've heard me allude to on the program, different segments, relational segments, that the system, if they know your weakness as men, if you know your weakness as women, if they know your weakness as a love of money, if your weakness is material things, if your weakness is obtaining 12 trillion degrees, all of that, the system will make sure that you have that. For their purposes. But what's the devil's purpose? Look at the havoc that's been caused, leading to today, leading to when Dr. Karen and I talk about the causative factors of not trusting, deception. You see it here in the beginning. But they have to leave the garden. Now you have physical death. Living just to a certain age. But they were perfect. As we sojourn through life, and Karen alluded to Proverbs. Remember now, the author of Proverbs was Solomon, the only man. You know, one of David's, King David's son. You know, remember King David? You know, the one that you keep saying that adultery. You forgot about murder. You forgot about numbering the people. But one thing you really forgot about was that God said David was a man after his own heart. Are you? God gave Solomon, the only man on this planet that's been, that is, that will see wisdom from God. Go back and read the total story of why he did. Our loving Father. There's nothing new under the sun, says Solomon. Remember? 1,000 ladies in his life. And you hear me talking about the relational programs there. Come on, man. If you had one lady in your life, you know how hard it is. Come on, ladies. If you have only one man in your life, you know how hard it is. Solomon had 1,000 ladies. The problem was they were serving other little g gods that didn't exist. They led Solomon away from God. Got him in trouble. We're always going to struggle with temptations in this life. But God hasn't left us alone in this struggle. And when you really pay attention, then you understand that he's provided you and I everything we need to defeat sin and the devil. And you don't hear me talking about go away, devil. You don't see that nowhere in the Word. Remember we talked about where there was an angel that Daniel had prayed, and an angel came forth and let him know that his prayer had been answered weeks ago, but he was in a battle, spiritual warfare, behind the scenes. Can't see with your natural eye. And even that angel had to call upon another angel, Archangel Michael, to help with the battle. And that shows you the military ranking, because you got to remember Satan's position when he was in heaven. And you saw where Michael, the archangel, he didn't say, "The devil, I'm Michael, the archangel, get away from here." He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, in your spare time, see what's needed to defeat sin and Satan. And then remember how our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation. Look over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And remember what he told the disciples, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. And you see over in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 14, I know you're writing it down, how he's delivered us from sin's power through his death and resurrection. And you see how he's provided the Holy Spirit of God to help you and I grow as we surrender, as we submit to the Word of God. And you can see that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And you see how he's promised to limit our temptation to that which we can resist, and he's always provided a way of escape. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I know you can see. And you see how you and I can't cast out temptation, but we can resist it. And you see, as believers of the household of faith, that we have a great opportunity to glorify Christ by responding with faithfulness in the face of evil enticements. You know it is. Look at the end effect, reaping what we've sown in our lives, families' lives, in our extended families' lives, at our place of worship, at our neighborhood, out there in the schools, out there in political world, the criminal justice world, the social world, the medical world, all of those systems. When temptation comes, my brethren of the household of faith, understand and know, hold fast to the Word of God. But in order to do that, you got to know it. You got to be in it. You have to ask God through his Holy Spirit to make it real for your life so that it's applied with a whole genuine heart, because you're talking about a genuine relationship with God. like he had with Adam and Eve before something happened. Like you had with that person in your life until something happened. When the devil tempted our Savior in the wilderness, the devil again tried to confuse and twist God's word as he did with Eve in the garden. But our Savior knew the scripture. Our Savior clung to it. And you know what happened? He sent the devil away. And you can see that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. And if you keep reading and you turn over to James chapter 4, verse 7, you know what's going to teach you and I? Notice I always include me. I know my sojourn. I know where I came from. I know where I am. I may not know what God's purpose and plan is for my life the next moment, but I know if he called my name today based upon his word, based on the promise of his word, based on the fact that he is an eternal God who does not lie, have never let me down. I have let people down, and they have let me down, but God hasn't. If he calls my name based upon the eternal promise of his word, not temporarily, I know where I'm headed, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But James chapter 4, verse 7, it lets us know the same strategy that we can use. Submit. Surrender, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The next time, Karen and I are going to touch on the fruit of sin. You know, like Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 talks about, out of the heart proceed murders. We saw where it began. With the devil, affecting the angels. We saw where it began, with Adam and Eve, with the serpent and the devil. We saw the end result, leaving that garden. We even see, but you'll read it in your spare time, that with Adam and Eve's children, Cain and Abel, jealousy, Cain killed his own brother. The first murder on this planet. But Karen and I are going to touch on the various types of trials and challenges we daily face in our lives. But just remember, it's as a result of the consequences of our first parents' sins, our ancestors' sins, our parents' sins, our own. But don't be running around here trying to blame Adam and Eve, your ancestors, your parents, your wife, your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, child, children, grandparents, you name the people, on that which you know you've done. So until then, on behalf of Challenges of Faith radio program, the Let's Talk About It segment with co-host Dr. Karen L. Donald and myself, I'm Gary McCance, and thank you for listening. And join us the next time. I can't wait to what Karen's going to talk about then on Challenges of Faith radio program. Let's talk about it.